another edition of Terrace Talk here, Donal Barry, with you here. And of course, it's a very busy evening. Of course, we're going to have the Keane Super Value County Minor Football Championship final taking pride of place there just after 7 o'clock. And we'll have all the action live from there from 7 p.m. as Mid Kerry and North Kerry bid to put a new name on the title after East Kerry's amazing run has come to an end. Now, what a promising final. And that will be, and of course I know there'll be massive interest, so keep it here until 7 p.m. with us. Now still we have plenty more in the opening hour as well, and we'll be looking, as we will be looking to put some of the most promising youths, of course, in the county who have competed and brought back medals to the kingdom. And we'll also catch up with some, and I suppose not so young competitors who were in their first year inside in championship football, of course, and that's of course the Kerry Masters. So get your comments to us here on Terrace Talk, and it's 083 300 3300, and you can call 066 712 3666. But of course we do like breaking news to you, and we want to break the best news we have at the moment, of course, and live all the way from Istanbul, and hopefully she's on the runway. She's been very good to stay afterward. Jennifer O'Sullivan, Coffee. Jennifer, listen, first of all, congratulations on that brilliant news. A European medal coming home to Ireland from your club and your country.
Yeah, it's amazing, Donal. We're so delighted with it. As you said, yeah, James Lee, he's coming home with a silver European medal, and I'm actually sitting on the plane.
I hope you don't get arrested. You can talk quick. Very quickly, I mean, I suppose there must be fierce excitement. You're coming home. It's a European silver medal there at the School Boys and School Girls European Championships, of course, 13 and 14 years old. What does it mean for yourself personally, of course, as the manager of the Irish team, and of course for James and his parents and all the family?
I suppose, first of all, it's a massive honour to be asked to go as manager for an Irish team. This would be my third school by school girl trip, and then also I suppose it made it extra special because my own Baxter was on it, and I was able to be part of his journey. So, you know, like the team is taking home 3 gold, 5 silver and 6 bronze, so like that's just an amazing achievement from these young athletes. And then also I suppose being part of such an experienced team along with the male manager Gus Farrell and the coaches as well, so it's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Just speak to us very briefly of his journey and some of the matches he fought and where he ended up with the silver medal.
Yeah, so I suppose if you are watching, you could have watched it on a it was live streamed. James's semi-final was one of the most exciting ones, I suppose, that stood out, because he actually lost the first and the second round. And the coaches in the corner were like, come on, James, you've got to turn this around. And in the third round, he stopped by. He gave him 2 counts. So being down in the first and second round and to come around and to win it was just amazing. His final then was a split decision. And a split decision can go either way. It can, you know, it was very, very close. I suppose us, we thought he had it, but it just went the other way. He was boxing a boy from Scotland.
Mm-hmm. And of course, like, I mean, when people talk about the European Championships, I'm just looking at it here, those 28 nations represented, those 378 boxers.
Yeah.
For all the world, it's a senior championships in a couple of years. All these names will be still in the hat, hopefully, and James will be there. It's great for his future, and it's great for the confidence, but it's also great for yourselves and the club. I mean, it's a huge medal to be bringing back to that small little ring you have out there in Slieve Lucra.
Oh, it's massive altogether for us, I suppose, as a club. And James, he already is such a great role model for the other athletes in the other boxers in our club, because he's so dedicated. You know, he spends all his time, it's boxing, minding what he's eating, you know. So I suppose he did want the gold, obviously, but he got silver. And for him, he'll need 2 weeks off anyway after it. But for the club, it's just an amazing thing, and it just kind of shows what, I suppose, what level our club is at as well.
Yeah, and of course it's going to inspire other members of your own club, and of course other Irish members on the team as well. Of course, I mean, like, it wasn't just James you were there for, you had a lot of other boxes.
Yeah.
How did you get on with the other medals? Were you delighted with their return?
Oh, for definite. Like, we had two, Brandon got gold, Christian Doyle and Elma Barry. The 3 of them got gold, and then the silvers, I suppose, even all the silvers were so close as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, for, like, we are here now, I suppose, 17 days away from our families, and even the boxers now just can't wait to get home.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to celebrate. Yeah, there'll be massive celebrations all over Ireland, and because the Boxers come from all over Ireland.
Yeah, and of course it's a long journey. I mean, it was on in Erzurum in Turkey. I mean, how long did it take you to get from Dublin to there? That's a pretty of a trip, isn't it?
I suppose, in total we left Dublin and then onto Istanbul, but we had like a 7-hour wait in Istanbul to get onto Erzurum, and then but we were lucky, I suppose, Donal, because we arrived a good few days beforehand, so the kids were able to, you know, get used to the food, get used to the heat and everything, so that kind of helped our journey as well.
Mm-hmm. Was there a bit of Irish support there? I presume a few Hardy.
Oh, there was. We had a load of parents. Brilliant. So they had a lot of support, which was great.
Absolutely. And of course, our show tonight is featuring around children and their success for Kerry. We're going to have the International Children's Game theme on, and we have another silver medal coming through. Finally, listen, we'll let you off on your flight. You can take off.
Thank you.
Listen, congratulations. It's absolutely brilliant news. That's Jennifer O'Sullivan Coffey, who is coming live from us from Istanbul on a plane in Turkey. And hopefully it'll take off and we'll get home and we'll have celebrations out in Castle Island. Jennifer, thanks for all the great work you're doing for boxing.
Thank you, Donal.
And the very
and
best
thank
of luck
you
to James.
For having us.
Not at all. Fair play.
Thank you.
James Casey, of course, remember the name. We flagged him here a couple of months ago. We said, you know, he's a name to look out for. Now he's a European silver medalist, which is absolutely fantastic. And of course, he had to box five fights to get there for the silver medal. And as I said, lost out to a guy from Scotland, who I'm sure he's going to meet in the ring a couple of more times. So look, get your comments in. As I said, you know, at the start, tonight is the big show. It's the County Minor Football Final. It's live here from 7 o'clock. Tim and Ambrose will be in the hot seat. Mid Kerry and North Kerry. Get your comments in. Who's going to win that final? It won't be East Kerry. East Kerry's amazing run has come to an end. For the first time in 7 years, I think there's going to be a new name on the minor trophy, and two districts again, Mid Kerry and North Kerry. Is it heading just down the district lane? Give us your thoughts on that, and you have our comments now. It was a very busy day yesterday as well at the Joe Doyle Cup over there in Massagee. Of course, there was 13 teams of over 35s. They battled it out there in the memory of Joe Doyle. Age certainly just a number, I suppose, with plenty of battle and skill left in some of the legs of the teams. It was a superbly run event. Great club, of course, in fairness to them, and well done to all. Even got a run out myself as well, reliving my youth with some sliding tackles, I suppose. I went home feeling 24 and woke up feeling 64, so that is the power of recovery. It'll take a few weeks to get ready. But anyway, nonetheless, it was a great day, and well done to all the organisers. And as I said, we ticked off the box there with the European, and stay with us because we're going to have the International Children's Games in studio as well. But going from, we'll say, very young to maybe not so young, the Kerry Masters, they were in action at the weekend. Now their debut season at this grade ended with a 12-10 defeat to Dublin on Saturday in Goulden in Tipperary. Lovely little pitch actually in the middle of the countryside. It was amazing, I suppose, really, to think, you know, it was Kerry and Dublin flags flying. You know, there might have been 100, 200 people at the game, but quite unusual. They all came to watch their dads and their uncles play, which was quite kind of different really. But it's been a pretty quick learning curve, I suppose, for Kerry's newest team. And on now to discuss some the learnings from that experience is the organiser, Dennis Kinley. Dennis, first of all, congratulations. We had you on, I remember way back, one of your first sessions in Fossa, when there was about maybe 10 or 12 of you running around the field, and we didn't really know what way the journey was going to go, but unknowns to yourselves and maybe an awful lot more, it finished with an All-Ireland semi-final in your first year. You certainly must be proud of that achievement.
Good evening, Don. Thanks for having me on. That evening outside in Fossa, we had no idea where this was going to go. We didn't know what kind of a team we were going to put together at that stage. And I remember saying to you at the time, my goal at the year was have 25 players and to fulfil every fixture. Now, I suppose after getting over the first hurdle against Clare, we kind of had a bit of confidence after that, like, you know, that we're not going to be sitting ducks here or bridesmaids or anything like that. So lads really kind of bought into it, and driven by a couple of the players themselves, like, they wanted to go training, they wanted to do a bit more, and they really drove it on themselves, you know, and it kind of took off very quickly, more than I expected to happen this year. And we got the results, and they started to, you know, the lads started getting more and more confidence in themselves. And it was great, really, because I think the competition went on, we started playing better teams, and probably unknown to ourselves, we started playing better as well. Like, but because we were putting up against better teams, we didn't see that, like, in a way, like, because we were thinking we're going to come up against a big team now and we'll get a bit of a hocking, like, but that never really happened. We were able to control games in such a way that we weren't conceding a whole pile, but we were probably double-edged sword and we weren't probably putting up the scores that we probably think we should have been known at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But like, to have a shot off of Dublin then the last day was just, to be honest, no, that would have been a dream at the start of the year, like, and to get to a semi-final against the big team like Dublin in this competition, and to be disappointed with a 2-point loss is a massive result, I suppose, really, when you look back on it.
Yeah, absolutely, and you're certainly right, because I remember the first game that you played over in Listowel against Clare. I suppose it was a bit of fun in a sense, and I suppose, you know, it was new to an awful lot of people and the game, and you won it. And of course the next outing you had over in Barrow-Dove against Waterford, and Waterford held you to a draw that night, and I suppose you had all the different experiences. But the game in against Dublin the last day, the one thing that surprised me was that the level of fitness. I mean, people kind of think Masters and they say, oh well, you know, it's kind of all guys playing football, but the level of fitness, I mean, Dennis Bastic was playing there, just to give you an idea to our listeners. I mean, 5-time All-Ireland winner medal with Dublin. They had Brendan McMahon, of course, his brother Kevin, of course, everybody will remember him down in Kerry. But the quality that Dublin had, they have that, I presume, because they're at it such a long time. That's where you're aiming to get to, I presume, a couple of years down the line as well, that ye will have a production line just like Dublin at the moment.
Oh, 100%. Like, what we saw this year, like, I suppose, we had a lot of lads that probably had been away from football for 3 or 4 years and decided to put on the boots again for this campaign. And it probably took them, and that's why I'm saying it probably took them 3 or 4 or 5 games into it to start getting into the rhythm of the thing. Like, perfect example, last day, Fergus McAuliffe there, wing back, had a mighty game, collecting kickouts and kicked an outstanding point there towards the end of the game, like, which was the Fergus of old in my mind. But, like, you know, it took him a few weeks, some months to get to that level again, to get the fitness to where he wanted it. Like, so, like, what we'd be looking to do now is get our campaign of training and everything started a lot sooner in January, February next year, like, with a couple of sessions. And there'll be guys looking into this now, like, and it'll be probably 38, 39, they'd be thinking, like, geez, I'll keep playing, I'll keep training, and this is there down the road for me, like, you know. So there won't be that 3 years of no playing football. So that's the bridge I want to gap, I suppose, with this going forward, that we'll have lads that would be coming straight off of club football straight into this. And with that, then we kind of grow a base for players, like, say, that would be I suppose fitter and stronger, and we would have I suppose a panel that would be able to kind of roll in, roll off a lot easier, you know.
That Fergus McAuliffe point was a crucial score, actually, in fairness to you. He was struggling to get a score, yeah, and he came up, popped it over into the teeth of a wind as well, and I think there was going to be everyone result with the kick. But you are right, I mean, an awful lot of the players, I suppose a lot of them are kind of legends within their own club as well, and played on till 37, 38, and maybe, we'll say, dwindled down to junior level, or maybe junior B, or kept playing maybe even at senior. Dave Curtin, an absolute warrior at midfield, the last day running around the place as well. John O'Connor, of course, Rahilly's kicked 5 points again the last day, you know, super from freeze. But like you said, a lot, maybe more people now will look into this and say, yeah, you know, there's an option for me to put on a Kerry jersey as well. And of course, it's the one thing that we need to kill. You don't have to have played for Kerry to play with the Kerry Masters.
No, definitely not. Like, no, it's available to anyone, I suppose. Next year, I suppose, to be anyone that's born in 1983 or older. But, like, we've unearthed some guys that, look, I would never have heard of them down through the years. Probably heard of them in passing, but, like, Tony Lyons there in goals, like, what a shot stopper, like, you know, and absolute brilliant keeper. You would obviously have John Brosson there from Dingle, like, an absolute warrior there in the back line. Like, but, like, it's, and then we have William Kirby in midfield, like, you know, a lad with all our medals in his pocket, and he's up to the training every night with us, and he's having the banter, like, you know. And that's what I love about it, like, you know, there's a very friendly atmosphere about the whole setup there, and the lads come up to train, there's no onus on to do laps or anything like that. It's all ball work, it's all sharpening up the skills, and a little bit of pressing work, like, but it's very much casual kind of setup, like, you know, where you go back to the club setup, like, you're probably doing sprints and, and laps for most of it, like, where this is not in that league at all.
Yeah.
What we're trying to do is basically, I suppose, sharpen our skills on the football side of things, so we don't have to do as much running.
No.
So that's the plan.
You're right. Now, look, Dublin were probably that one little step ahead of you on Saturday. I mean, you certainly gave it your all. You were up 6 points to three at one stage. You were level midway through the second half. That little bit of experience, and maybe they had a little bit more on the bench and the whole rotation probably in the end. Again, it's the Dublin team, of course, that were beaten in an All-Ireland final. They're at that level, they're at that grade with a number of years. What has impressed you about the commitment your players have given to you, and you in the loosest term, about turning up every night, and the support that they have as well? I mean, it's lovely to think that after these games their kids are taking pictures with their fathers in Kerry jerseys, and I even saw Sean O'Sullivan putting up the thing that he was wearing David Clifford's number as well. You know, I mean, even for him, even at this stage, having experienced everything, there's still a huge thrill in it. And like you said, you mentioned William Kirby. I mean, like, he's a legend from 97, of course. You know, even fellas like that, to think that even at this era of their campaign or their career, they still have that little bit of hunger of wanting to be competitive and wanting to win.
Yeah, well, we'd be saying that David Clifford's wearing Sean O'Sullivan's jersey now, but look, that's a different debate. But look,
there's a place for David Clifford in the Masters, is there, eventually?
eventually, if he stays fit the next 17 years, we'll take a look at him. But no, to be honest, like, the whole, I'd say, the group bought into the commitment levels. Like, you know, obviously club championships started getting in the way, like, but anyone that was available, we had 15, 16, 17 above a training, like, you know, and some clubs around the county would be struggling to get that a training, like, you know, especially rural clubs. So we were, you know, we were very impressed with the attitude of the players towards this whole thing, like, you know, and they really bought into it from a very early stage. And, you know, it gave kind of a real sense of purpose of what we were trying to do here, like, you know, and give lads football, give lads an opportunity to play again. And obviously, of course, it gives them an opportunity to wear that Kerry jersey, like, you know. And as I say, like, most of the lads that would have been playing with us this year would never have worn a Kerry jersey, and it was, you know, they were very proud to do that, like. And that was the one thing message we took from this year, like, you know, that when would we have to ever thought at 41, 42 years of age that we would get a chance to wear a Kerry jersey, like. So, like, the opportunity now is there, and we want to make sure that is there for a lot more people going forward.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. It's a competition that will grow. I mean, there's 20 teams playing. I mean, I suppose in many ways it's kind of surprising it took Kerry so long to get to this level. Come here, Dennis. I presume a lot of people have helped you along the way, a lot of clubs maybe as well, and maybe people helping out in different ways. Have you a few thank yous maybe to end the season with?
Yeah, no, look, we have a few people that helped us out along the way, definitely, financially support, let's say, JFK Electrical there in my van, John O'Connor from Acon in my van man as well, Castlebar there in Tralee, the Shire in Killarney, and fair play to the credit union there in Kerry, who supplied us with tops there for the semi-final as well. It was very much appreciated. And on the other side, in clubs, Strand Road, we've used that as our base for training this year, and they've been absolutely brilliant. Like, they've never let us wanting for anything, hot showers or anything like that, and grub if we wanted it afterwards. Like, so, you know, it's the small things, you know, that you really appreciate. Like, you know, you kind of wonder at times, like, whether people take it serious or anything like that. Like, but when you go up, like, against Dublin and all them, like, you really see the caliber of teams that are playing at the top, like, level. That's the gear they have, all the jerseys, they're sponsored well, you know, they really need for nothing, like, you know, at that level, like, so which is great to see, and hopefully at some stage we might get to that level, like, you know. And I want to thank the county board as well. We're not underneath the umbrella of the GAA, but like, the county board came on board very early on and said they would sponsor the jersey for us, like, so. And that's a big selling point from our point of view, like, to have that Kerry jersey, that crest, and Kerry on us, like. And we'd hopefully sit down with the county board at some stage, maybe before the end of the year, and see what we can maybe do for 2023, and see if there's anything there that we can work on for next year, like, you know. So and then, like, there's always options there as well, like, for others to kind of get behind us as well, like, so. we have to look into that. I think that's one of the things we need to look into. We need to get a proper structure, a club structure, where you have a chairman, secretary, all that, so that we can put in place the right structures for this to grow and grow in the right way in the next few years and get the people that we need into the club or into the county, I suppose, really, and a manager, selectors and trainers and stuff. So there's a lot of work to be done. We've learned a lot this year. We've learned that you know, the big teams have big following, a big backroom teams and all that. So we won't get there today or tomorrow, but we're planning on having a 3 or 4 year plan there that we get there eventually, and we'll be able to compete with the Tyrones and Dublins eventually. You know, down the
absolutely,
road.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, look, Dennis, thanks very much for all the time and effort as you put into the Masters. I suppose, look, it's something that kind of went from a simple tweet, I suppose, to an actual team competing in the All Ireland Series. I mean, it's a great story, and look, we look forward to many more years of success and instalment. Of course, we can't wait for next year. Of course, speaking of managers, my God, can you imagine the tweets that'll be going out now looking for an intercounty manager for the Masters team? You might have to run a few laps if you get a manager. That's the only problem. But look, Dennis, thanks very much for everything you've done, and we will chat to you probably in the new year as well. That, of course, was Dennis Kennedy with the Kerry Masters, defeated by Dublin in the All-Ireland semi-final, 12-10, so close. Had a couple of chances maybe to even sneak past them, but on the day, I think, fair enough, the more experienced team won out, and we'll have to congratulate Dublin on that one. But how exciting is it? David Clifford will be Kerry Masters in 17 years' time. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee,
home of the Roses 2022, welcoming locals and visitors to Johnny Frank's Bar throughout the festival.
Now, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk, and of course, we're all excited here because we've brought a big gang in with us. The International Children's Games team, they're home, of course, they're home with medals, of course. And of course, they had a big, strong representation over in Coventry. I'm delighted to have in studio Mike Cullity. Mike, we'll talk to you first, Mike, before we meet the team, okay? We tried to fit as many as we could. We got four. Four is pretty decent. And we were all suitably mic'd up and ready to go, and they're all very nervous and fantastic. First of all, Mike, for the five people out there who don't know what the International Games is, I've been describing it last week as it's kind of a mini Olympics for kids, but it's probably a little bit more than that.
Well, this is as good a description as you're going to get, Donald, to be fair. Yeah, you could even call it an international worldwide community games event, if you like. What it is an event that began in 1968 with nine cities involved, and the whole purpose of the games was to bring young people together and help them to understand one another, understand cultures, understand difference, and understand religious difference and so on, and to build a community, a youth community through sport, if you like. So since 1968, the games have now become the world's largest multi-sport youth event. So a host city will always offer you like 7, 8, 9, or 10 sports, and you, as a participating city, will be entitled to choose 2, 3, or 4, whichever suits you. The maximum number of children going from any particular town or city will be 18, four coaches and 2 delegates. So that would always be 24. And that's what we took to Coventry, and that's what we've been taking since we started in 2005 at the Games.
The time goes very fast, 2005. You've charted the whole world. I mean, Coventry, I said earlier today, it was more like a hometown event, really. I mean, you can hop on the plane here in Kerry Airport and you're there. Does that help you with more family, more support, and there's more support over as well that shows up for the game?
Absolutely. I was reminiscing about the first time we were in Coventry, which was in 2005. I had 2 parents with me and the 4 coaches. And in this year, we had 42 supporters. And obviously, the proximity to England was the defining factor, really, in relation to that. And it was just fantastic that they were able to come. It's like a week's holidays in one sense for them, but there's a huge effort involved, in actually arranging themselves to go and making the finances available for themselves outside of what we're trying to do with the team as well. So it was wonderful to have them all there. The weather was so fantastic. And to have them at the sporting events with the children and supporting and carry flags and you name it, it's just beautiful.
It's a great feeling.
So yeah, the proximity to Coventry was a huge issue. Like, for example, next year it's in Daegu in South Korea. Right. If we decide to go, that's a heck of a long way for parents to be travelling.
Backpacking between now and South Korea. Listen, you've brought a few with us. You might introduce them to us. I know we have Kieran, Fanon, Lily, May and Anna. You might introduce them and what various sports they played with, and then of course we'll get ready for the big Leaving Cert questions.
Very good. Well, I'll start with the ladies and seeing they're on my right here. Okay, and Anna Collins plays with Ballymac Bobcats, and she's a basketball player of some repute and renown, and a real tough customer, plays football for Ballymac as well. And then beside her we have a swimmer, I think freestyle is your main event, isn't it? Freestyle 50 and 100 and so on. She's Lily Mae O'Gara. She would be a brother to Michael O'Gara, who plays with the Stacks, and I had Michael O'Gara at the games in 2015 in Holland on the soccer team. On my left is Fionnán Ryan. Fionnán is actually the second member of the Ryan family to come to the children's games with us. His sister Kira was with us in the New Taipei games in 2017, I think, or thereabouts. And on the extreme left, nearest to you, is the little young man who hails from the Spool, but brought home a silver medal in the shot put event for us. So Fionnán, I forgot to say, is on our basketball team. And he's a member of the Imperials Club.
You have all the sports covered. I suppose we'll start with you, Kieran, because you, not because ladies first, but you were here since about 5:10. your father was so excited; he was here about 2 hours beforehand. Kieran, first of all, speak to us about your sport. It's unusual because we're watching the European athletics now at the moment, and of course, there's great form with the sprinters and the long distance runners and the whole lot. But you're a thrower. I mean, shot put is your sport. What's the attraction with it? And for the people that don't understand the sport, maybe explain very briefly what goes into it and how it is measured and how it is, and then we'll talk about that lovely medal.
So basically it's you put about 3 or 5 kg ball up in your neck and then you throw it as far as you can. You can't go over a certain line or else it's a foul, but it's measured from where it lands, not where it rolls.
Absolutely.
And then the person who throws it the furthest.
Yeah. And how long have you been throwing the shot put now?
I started in 2019 and I've been training since then.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, I mean, when people say you're throwing a ball, it's not a little slitter, it's not a little handball.
It's
these things are a weight. How heavy are you throwing?
It's a 5 kg ball and training with a 6 kg at home.
Brilliant.
It really helps, yeah.
Yeah, you're far a bit of light now that you gave away the secret there for next year training. Maybe it's even bigger. Kieran, winning the medal, okay? First of all, the competition you get up to, this Coventry. Give us an idea of some of the countries you were throwing against.
The competition was brilliant, first of all, and there was the likes of, there was Greeks, there was Germans, there was Poles, there was a lot of Israelis in the competition. There was from the local team Coventry itself, and it was good competition in it.
And when you go in then in the morning and you get to, I suppose, sit in the room or whatever before you go out and you see the Greeks and the Poles and the whole lot, is there a conversation going on? Do you know, I suppose everybody speaks their own language, but are you kind of nodding?
Oh, there wasn't a conversation at all. No, Jesus, it was
real serious stuff.
It was real serious. Yeah.
So, there was no kind of West Kerry like hurry get down, yeah. And you know. How good have you thrown it?
Yeah.
Your first throw, I mean, obviously, you know, in throwing events, I suppose it's important to get a throw in nice and early. You know, sometimes you can foul it or sometimes it doesn't. Your first throw, was that a good one?
It started off with qualifying in the morning. Okay. And in the first throw in the qualifying, I got the mark that automatically qualified me. So I could relax for the rest of the qualifying. Came to the final then, I was slowly progressing more. And I was getting better and better, and I risked it all for the gold and the last one. Mm-hmm. And I fouled it, but I was very happy with silver in the end.
You were committed at that stage, and of course in throwing, I suppose it is like everything, it's the mark that's measured is the best mark at the time. And of course when people say foul, you went outside the ring, or maybe your technique was wrong or whatever, but you do that because you want to go more. Was there different techniques used by different throwers, or are you all kind of similar enough?
One or two different techniques. There was the glide, as it's called, and then there was a double rotation spin.
Mm-hmm. Which one do you favour?
The glide. I've been training the double rotation spin and I can't get any hands of it at all.
There's a lot going on with the rotation when you're moving and you're throwing at the same time, but you're doing the one that's most comfortable with. And what was your silver medal throw?
My silver medal throw was 12 metres 18 and it was 1 in 12 metres 56.
Okay, so you were close.
I was close, yeah.
If you had one more throw after the one you fouled, would you got him?
I don't know, because he was getting better as well.
Was he getting better? Yeah, and that usually happens, of course. One foot pushes the other fella and the whole lot. We'll change from that sport completely. Because,
may I say something before you do it? Like, he has been throwing 3 kgs all year, and the event in Coventry was up to 5, so he had to adjust from 3 to 5 in the space of a couple of months. And that's why he's under 6 kg. It obviously a great training technique, as you know yourself.
Absolutely. He's doing all the good training. A different sport, I'm going to bounce from something that you stay dry with to something that you don't stay dry with at all. We'll bounce across to our swimmer, Lily May. I mean, the pool, I mean, the same event, I suppose, in a sense, you're competing against people from different countries and the whole lot, and you're getting in there and you're figuring out what happens. I mean, give us your experience of your competition. How did you get on, and were you happy with it?
Overall, I was very happy with myself because I got all PBs and I really did very well overall as well. And yeah,
And you can't do much better than a personal best, no matter how good you are. I mean, like, you want to win the medal, obviously, but you can only progress bit by bit. I mean, personal bests are huge.
Yeah.
And like, you get out of a pool and you have a personal best. That's like winning a medal, really, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
To myself, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, you have to take step by step. I mean, there's a long journey there. I mean, there's no need to get there so quickly. What's it like, though, to going into competition? You're representing the Tralee International Children's Games. I mean, you're competing against people from different countries. I presume you get really proud, do you?
Yeah, very proud. I was excited getting into the pool. Nervous, very nervous.
And your parents give you all advice?
Yeah.
And your coach tells you not to listen to them?
Yeah.
Do your own thing. Uh-huh. Speak to us about your coach. Obviously, swimming is an event where you need a good coach as well.
Mm-hmm, yeah. He really drives us. We do a lot of training. Every week we are up mornings and evenings. We had to do a very tough week during the summer. It was full on. It was every morning of the week, 5 a.m. and every evening as well.
That sounds mad, doesn't it? Like, when people say children's games and you're saying you're getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, but that's the commitment you kind of have to make to get to a level, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you happy with getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and going swimming? Don't answer that question. What club do you swim at?
Kingdom Swimming Club.
Very good. Where are they based?
In the Tralee Complex.
Absolutely. We had them here a few weeks ago. Very serious club on the rise. Who's your coach?
Jerry McDonnell.
Fair play. Okay. Now, coaches are a big thing in basketball, aren't they? And we're going to the Ballymac girl. Have you a couple of coaches out in Ballymac? You have?
Yeah, we do. We have very good coaches out in Ballymac.
Fair play. And of course, you bounced from Ballymac Bobcats onto the Children's International Games team. It's a different enough sport. It's only 3-a-side, though, is it?
Yeah, the 3v3 was very different because it's a much quicker game. It's very fast and you have to be on the ball all the time, whereas in 5v5, it's a bit more relaxed because there's more people on the court. But in 3v3, you also have to be moving. You have to be aware of where the ball is because it's just so much quicker.
Mm-hmm. And of course, obviously, it's going to get a lot quicker when you're competing in international games as well. Speak to us about your group stages and some of the teams you played against and how you got out.
We had a very tough group stage. We played Australia, North Sydney first, and they were very, very good. They were good shooters, good at defence. And then we played Halifax from Canada. They were also very good shooters. And we played Greece, which we beat them. And then the last team we played was...
Dear God, the last team. Don't mind, did you win or lose?
We lost in overtime by
all
a
right.
point.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair play. We'll go to the encyclopedia. We'll check it out. The experience, though. I mean, you again. We're talking about competing, and I thought that's an individual sport. Swimming is very much an individual sport. Maybe the relay isn't. What's it like in a team sport, 3v3? I mean, who were the other members of your team?
Yeah, so we had Lucy O'Connor, Jill Quirk, Kelly Fitzgerald, and myself. We were all very good friends, so it was good. We had a lot of team chemistry, and we all kind of knew each other between school and sport, so it was good. We played very well together, and we just gave it everything, and that was it, yeah.
Absolutely. And you can't do any more, really. I mean, it's like setting a personal best. I mean, you go out, and you can only compete the best. You certainly will, what you've learned from there, you'll bring it back to Ballymac Bobcats. Are you all Bobcats?
No, Lucy and Kelly are with Tralee.
Okay, which club in Tralee?
Tralee Imperials.
Oh, wow. Did they change their name to Magic or something?
Yeah, Tralee Magic, yeah.
Yeah, sounds really cool, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, real American name though, the Magics. Speaking about Magic, okay, another man who produced a small bit of Magic, hopefully, was Finnan Ryan. Your competition?
Basketball.
Good stuff. And how did you get on?
We got on good enough, We won 2 out of our 5 games, which was good. and yeah.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's not about the winning. I suppose the first of all is you get picked, you go. It's a team. Who are your team members?
Myself, Braden Pierce from St. Brendan's, Gerald White from St. Brendan's, and my teammate Johnny Dawson from Trilly Magic.
See your man there. Look, he is the logo. How do you get on with the Brendan's boys? Really, seriously.
I guess there was a bit of rivalry there between us, but like we all play football, go to school together, like, so we were friends really at the end of the day, and we all bonded over there as well.
How would you divide in the football lines?
I'm a Stax.
Right.
I'm Stax, two Narys and one Mitchells.
One more. Oh my God. It was very politically correct, wasn't it, Mr. Coach? Yeah. Absolutely. One from everybody. No Nagel, of course.
Not at the moment.
Oh my God, fair play. Of
course, they were busy winning All Ireland.
Yeah, they were too successful. Finan, speak to us about some of the games you played. You won 2 out of 5. How did you get on your first game, and maybe talk us the way through?
Well, the first day we had 3 games, and first one we lost by 2 points to a Greek team. Very close game, just unlucky in the end, missed a few shots. And second game, we lost that one to an Israel team, Haidara, who ended up getting to the semi-finals, and they were a very good team. And in the third game, we played one of the favourites from Switzerland, Montreux, and they were very good. Like we lost to them by about 10 points, but they were serious operators. And second day, we had 2 games, and we won both of them. Just, we were very good on the second day. It all kind of clicked and came together.
You were growing into the competition at the end, kind of job.
Yeah.
I suppose that happens, though, with 4 players coming together. I mean, it takes a while. It takes a couple of games to realise what we can do or what we can do together. Maybe the games came at the right time. Speak to us about the Switzerland game. You said they were a very, very good outfit. What impressed you about those guys?
I guess they were very good as a team. Like, when they got the ball, they passed it fast. They were all able to shoot, drive, moved the ball fast, like they worked well together, and you could tell that they'd played 3v3 before.
And how difficult is it? And I suppose I come back to my Belly Mac friend here, Anna, as well. You're playing 5, obviously you're playing traditional basketball, and now you're 3v3. It takes a little bit more training, or must you be a bit more aware of what's going on? It's a different game effectively, isn't it?
Well, it's a lot faster. It's go, go, go. Like, once you get the ball, you have 12 seconds once you get the ball to get another shot up and repeat it over and over again. So, like, you just have to be on the ball at all stages, like, ready to go.
Stuff. And I see, do you have the Switzerland jersey, when you do?
Yeah, I traded this while I was over there. I traded my gear.
Typical Austin Sex man, huh? Play his jersey and brought back a nice blue one. Yeah, yeah. You brought, they're Raheli's colours. Somebody did tell you that, did they?
I don't know. Stacks might change the jersey.
They might go up do for a way. Listen, Mike, what's impressing me most about the four of them, and I presume all the team as well, is that it's children's games. I mean, we're having growing up conversations about sport. I mean, they all know their games, you know, a certain personal best, knowing how to foul and maybe go a bit further. The gang, obviously, noting who the best teams were and the learnings from it. How proud are you of first of all putting a team together, and then going out, and I suppose you withdraw and you watch them compete, and you're saying, look, I mean, I won't say they're all my kids, but I mean, they're all the team that you put together, and they're in different sports, and of course you can relate to them, and you obviously did, because you said this person's brother was before, or this person from the club was in 2005, the whole lot. The team of 2022, I mean, every team is special, but what made this one special as well?
Well, there's a couple of things. The beauty of bringing a team together like that is that when you go abroad, they are completely cemented together and bonded together in no time, because here they are in the middle of 1,500 other children representing over 85 cities from around the world. And you become Ireland. You become Irish in a way that you may never feel at home. So that's the first bonding, really, is that you're representing not just your hometown, you're representing your country as well. And it's very obvious that you know, we're Irish, born, we're Tralee people at the Games, so to speak. How proud am I? I'm absolutely over the moon with the whole week in Coventry and the way the children behaved themselves, number one. Number two, the way they played and the effort they put into everything, whether it was in the pool with Lily Mayer on the basketball court with the two lads, and obviously on the track I mean, that's a very specialised sport, and you know, you're right to highlight like that all these things require a skill level, a specific skill level, to be able to perform to the best of your ability. What I love as well is that we always rise to the occasion. You know, you're talking about four personal bests in the pool from the four swimmers. That's an incredible achievement. Mm-hmm. And likewise on the track, a few of the athletes also had personal bests in their racing events. So I'm very proud of them.
Yeah.
And I always have been. Whenever we're abroad, the children that we send out are such a, they're a credit to their families and their communities, and represent us with great pride and skill and ability.
And that's hugely important, of course. I mean, results are one thing, but you get proud of the performances. Going back to the personal bests, Lily May, I mean, do you know when you're on a good run that you're setting a good time? Swimming is kind of hard. I mean, I just watch it on the television and I can't tell which head comes up first or who wins it, the whole lot. But
yeah.
Do you know that you're on a good run here? Do you know what was your personal best and how much did you knock off it, we'll say?
We're used to swimming in 25 metre pools, so okay. We were kind of jumping then into the 50 metre pool.
Okay.
So we're not very used to that, so we don't
so
have...
So just to explain to listeners, in the 25 you kind of have to do the 50 and you have to turn around and come back. In the 50 it's just a flat out. How was that experience even?
We had swam in it before up in UL, but not very often. Mm-hmm. So like, it's tougher definitely, but like you have your times for that and you have your short course times as well. So the long course times are obviously longer than short course times.
Yeah.
So my long course time in 100 free, which would probably be my best event, was... Going into it, it was 1:10, and I came out with 1:07.
Oh wow! Okay, that's 2 seconds, like.
Yeah, and
that's a lot of time in swimming. Like, I mean, it mightn't be a lot of time, or 2 centimeters might be nothing for my friend over here, but 2 seconds is a hell of a lot of time. It's also a lot of time in basketball when you're looking for one score, isn't it? And you have the ball in the hand. Did any of those games come down to be really tight games? Any game where it was just decided on a throw or not?
Yeah, exactly. Like in our first game, we got very, very unlucky at the last. We missed a few shots at the last few seconds of the game exactly. And then in our last game against Poland, it went to overtime and it was just like a split second and the ball's in the basket and then the buzzer goes and it's all over. So yeah. It's very, very quick.
That game against Poland went to extra time.
Yeah.
Wow. And one, if they had won that game, they lost by 1 point in extra time. It's first to two in extra time. If they had won that, they'd be in the semi-final. They were very unlucky. They were fantastic the way they played.
We'll keep clear of Ballymac, so, because they'll be out for the event. Let's go back to West Kerry for a second. Lot of proud nights back in West Kerry, of course, bringing back medals and cups and football teams and the whole lot. Speak to us about how proud it was for you and your family, Kieran.
It was absolutely brilliant. They were absolutely delighted, and when I come off the plane I got a call that there was a massive ceremony ready in this bowl for me when I got home. So I driven down the slip road in this bowl and there was seats, a stage, everything, and I just walked on. It was brilliant.
My god, so you get the free man of this bowl for a week, did you?
Yeah.
Good month. Stuff. A month. They're kind of tough back there. The presentation, just very quickly, and we'll be going to a break, but the presentation of getting the medal, what did that feel like, getting up on your little step? And
felt absolutely brilliant to get the medal and just everyone cheering me on when I was getting the medal and hearing my name being called out, getting second place. It was just brilliant.
Absolutely. Well, look, thank you very much, guys. We'll have to go to a break because we have a packed show. We have another first guy coming on after a break. He's from Ballymac's ice in the brain now, thanks to you. Yeah, absolutely. From Ballyhigh, who won a community games medal, the first time ever in long puck for a Kerry hurler, which is fantastic. Guys, listen, thanks very much for joining us. That's Kieran Keane, Fionnán Ryan, the guy who's wearing the Nari's jersey, but even though he's a sax man. I have Lily Mayo Gar over here, who'll certainly outshine her brother yet, I'm sure of that. And we have Anna Collins, and of course, the man that never leaves the stage with truly international games. It's Mike Culty. Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you, Donal.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee,
home of the Roses 2022, welcoming locals and visitors to Johnny Frank's Bar throughout the festival.
No, North Kerry have some skillful, excellent players. I've been following them since last year when they lost out, but they're coming back stronger than ever, and it's great to see them back this year in a final. Brilliant for North Kerry, and best wishes to both teams tonight. But North Kerry will play with their heart on their sleeve, a North Kerry listener there, and of course that's a game that's live here at 7 o'clock. Hi Donal, looking forward to the county minor final final tonight. Best luck to North Kerry. I think they'll win it. That's Charles from You Never Walk Alone Land. Charles, I think you'll have an eye on some other match later on, Charles, if I know you, and I'll have an eye on the other side, of course, Charles. But anyway, the next comment: sent huge congratulations to Jason Gaynor of Ballyhaig on his fantastic achievement on winning the All-Ireland Long Puck from everyone here in Ballyhaig. Jay, and they're very proud of him there, and that's from Cara Flav, the chairperson of Ballyhaig. And I'm absolutely delighted to say that we have Jason on the line, as well as Richardo Foron, of course, the PRO. First of all, congratulations, Jason. You might just tell everybody what you have around your neck, or what they gave you around your neck. You are the Community Games gold medalist. What did that feel like, Jason?
It felt very good.
It was very good. And of course, it's the long puck, so I mean, it sounds simple, but surely it's a little bit harder than that. What must you do?
Hit the ball as far as you can.
Absolutely. And you hit it further than everybody else in Ireland, which is a huge achievement. Were you excited or were you nervous when you lined up with your hurl and your slitter?
I was nervous.
Absolutely. We'd all be nervous, of course, because you were competing for an All-Ireland title. What other people were around you? Did you notice the other jerseys of the other competitors?
Yeah.
Who were they?
They were Limerick, Waterford, Monaghan.
All the good ones, Dublin. I suppose. Yeah, Dublin, I suppose. A few Kilkenny's as well in the whole lot. And of course, you were there from Kerry. Where are you from, Jason, first of all?
Ballyhaig.
Ballyhaig, and you said fiercely proud. And of course, you obviously play hurling in Ballyhaig, do you?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And where do you play? What position on the field are you on?
Corner forward.
Corner forward, oh my. So you're used to sticking the ball in the net, are you?
Yeah.
Good man. But you didn't. You couldn't stick it in the net for the Community Games. You had to puck it long. How long did you puck it?
82.92 metres.
My God. Dear God. And there was no wind or nothing to help you?
No.
No, it was a fantastic day, actually. A lovely warm day, of course. And all that of Kerry were down there. But of course, what makes your achievement a little bit more special than anybody else, you're the first Kerry person to win the long puck. And of course, this is a real traditional hurling sport. So did you get a big warm welcome when you came home?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Were all your friends and families and club mates looking for your autograph?
No.
Ah, oh, stop. Surely somebody you're looking for. You didn't even get a selfie, did you?
Yeah.
You got a selfie. A couple of selfies. Richardo Foron, I presume you certainly were taking a selfie with the great man Jason Gaynor, were you?
I'm not that important at all. No, I'll have to wait. Yeah, I'm in the queue.
Absolutely. Come here, just outline the pride that a club like Ballyhaig will have with an achievement like this.
Well, it was first of all, it was under 14, he's only 11. And he came first, and a young fella from Waterford came second, Galway third, and Limerick fourth. Yeah, we were very proud, obviously, also of Stephen Hafty, who did really well in the long jump. We knew we were sending, let's say, from Kerry, we knew we were sending two good men up. We were sending Billy Roberts from Ballyduff as well, and he performed really well. But I suppose the crowning glory was for Jason to win the gold. And it was just a fantastic achievement. And when we turned into the sports field the following day, into John Joe Sullivan Park, the crowds were there and the cheering, it really would lift your heart, you know. It was just brilliant. But he's an excellent hurler, and he has a great future ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it's the Community Games. I mean, it's national final. I mean, you're on about it, the best of the best. I mean, he obviously had to come through Kerry as well, and then head, of course, up to Carlow. And I suppose you go into these events probably thinking that you do your best, because this would be predominantly a hurling event, which is kind of unique in a sense. A lot of them are athletics and that kind of sport, where a long puck is kind of specialised. Had you any idea before he got into the field that he was going to be thereabouts?
Yeah, well, if you ever stood in goals in Ballyhaig, and I've had a standing goal a few times under 13 coaching sessions, and when the bullet goes past you, you know, he is a fair belt of a ball, you know. So we knew very well he would do well, because we saw himself and Billy Robertson bed up as well. You know, we knew that they were both very good, and but obviously, you know, from experience, we know he's a great puck of a skitter. So, yeah, we knew he would do well, but how well he would do was the question. And, well, now we know, don't we?
Absolutely. He done pretty well. Jason, finally, before we go to the minor game, Jason, of course, poor Richard's put you under massive pressure because you're only 11. You have it all again to do next year. Will you bother with it at all now, seeing that you're champion of Ireland, or will you go back and defend your title?
If I can, I will.
Fair play to you. Of course, you have to win the Kerry title first, of course. That might even be harder before you get up to national level. What do you enjoy about the sport of hurling, Jason?
It's fun and you can play with friends.
Absolutely. Well, do you know what, Jason? I think you hit the nail on the head. Fun and friends, certainly the most important thing. Listen, Richard, thanks very much for this evening. Jason, congratulations once again. Fierce proud man out in Ballyhigan, of course, and we were all very proud of you here in Kerry as well. Fantastic achievement, of course, as Jason Gaynor of Ballyhig GA Club, and he is the All-Ireland Long Puck Champion in the Community Games. What a fantastic achievement. I tell you, we have some fantastic young people out there all getting ready to take their step on the sporting ladder. We're finishing, of course, with Jason, James Casey, of course. We started with him. He's on his plane back from Istanbul. He is a European silver medalist. And of course, we had Kieran Keane, who was the silver medalist from the shot put all the way back there from Lisboa in the International Children's Games. And of course, we had Lily May setting her personal best, and Anna Collins and Finan Ryan, all names for the future. And there's going to be a lot more names for the future coming up. And we're delighted to be joining Tim Minahan and Ambrose Dunham to let you know about it. North Kerry are taking on, of course, Mid Kerry in the Keane Super Value County Minor Football Final. And what an exciting final that is going to be, and we're going to bring that live to you, and we'll pop across to Austin Stack Park.